Hey friends, this is Chris, about to embark on another magical lake journey. I'm gonna let you join me for a journey on the lake and a journey in the mind. The interchange between purpose and belief. If a person has a strong sense of purpose in their life, their steps are guided by necessity, you know, the next thing that needs done is the next obstacle in the path towards goals that are on the way towards the general bigger purpose. If one does not have a purpose, it's kind of like you can imagine a ship at sea that has no harbor or destination in mind at all. How that could be dangerous. We live in a world that is much like the sea, and that it's wild, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. The weather is unpredictable to an extent. We can gather some things and have some expectations, but the actual reality and life, we never know what's going to happen. So how do you have a purpose that's worthwhile and in a direction that's doesn't later you get to, you don't want to get to a point and look back and be like, oh, I went all this far for nothing. So when it comes to considering your purpose, which as I've explained is important, very important thing, when you've determined a worthy purpose, it helps to have one that's big enough and general enough that you can aim long term for it, and yet specific enough that you know what to do. It's not overwhelming. Trying to awaken all of humanity to the fact that it's currently enslaved in control systems in a ridiculous authoritarian religious dogma is a huge task. But perhaps an element within that task is more fitting for one of us as an individual, or two of us who work together as a team, even for a time. So think about how much a belief could skew or dissuade or destroy one's ability to work towards a purpose. Even if a human being has discovered and found some sort of purpose that they're working towards, and they've now are developing willpower, there's still a lot of problems that can happen along the way that can dissuade a person, that make them feel like they failed or actually send them further back than when they've come. And that often comes with, I mean, you can try as hard as you want on something, but that doesn't always mean it's effective. And oftentimes when I've had experiences of just trying really hard to do something and then it keeps not working out. I actually have an example I wanted to share about that with this old truck buying project. When I was young, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there, I was convinced for a while that I wanted to have an old truck that I could use for work and also rebuild and make better, you know. And most of the times I went into buying a truck, there was something wrong with it, or I got one that wasn't really good enough to do what I needed to for work. even if it might be a cool collector's item. That was what happened one time. But another time, this guy kind of ripped me off. And it was sort of shiesty how he went about it. And I think it's a good story because it describes, like, belief and how that can affect our purpose. In this case, my purpose was to get a work truck I could use to carry carpentry tools and such, and perhaps even lumber. And this guy I worked with had a truck like that. But my main need when it came to the truck was it had to be a certain price. It couldn't be more than $2,000. It had to be less than, because that was the amount of money that I had saved up. And so the other aspect of this truck buying project was the goal was to get a truck that was earlier than 1974, such as 1973, because they're smog exempt, and that would save me a lot of money in trying to get it smogged if I didn't ever have to get it smogged. So that was the plan. And this guy's like, yeah, I got a 73 truck. My truck's a 73. And he agreed to sell it to me for, I think it was $1,800. But, you know, it needed to be smogged. And I was like, well, I thought it didn't need to be smogged, because it was, somehow he convinced me that it was just because we were doing the title trade. And we went in and it fails the smog, and turns out the truck's in 1974, not in 1973. And the guy had misrepresented the truth. He'd lied to me. He knew that. But he thought he could kind of just fudge it. Well, it's so close. It's only 1 year off, right? But it wasn't the truth. And by misleading me, you know, I believed this guy. I worked with him. I thought to myself, you know, he's going to see me tomorrow, next week. At work, he wouldn't lie to me about the truck he's selling to me, would he? Well, as it turned out, he did. And so, for my purposes, because this truck was going to need smog work in the meantime, it was going to wind up costing more than the amount of money that I had, and also because it was going to require future smog checks, it did not fit the criteria of my purpose, which was to buy a truck that didn't need that, because I didn't have money for that. And so that deal didn't work out. But as you can see, this gentleman chose to mislead me and lie, misrepresent the truth. And by tricking me into believing that, you know, he could help me reach my purpose, he almost got me to waste a bunch of money and not reach my purpose. So the moral of that story is that we need to be really careful with what we believe, number one, and who we listen to and who we believe. And then number two, that we don't make decisions based on only beliefs. You know, that we check things out, right? We know what we're doing. So we're not out there showing other people a bad example of just doing things based on faith of a story that someone told us. So often, whatever dogmatic religion you want to talk about, everything from institutions like the very government itself, all the systems of court systems, all the systems of enforcement, they're all requiring you to believe a whole set of things. It's based on a story. And the story goes that if we weren't here to protect you, then you could be badly injured or wounded or killed or kidnapped. But if we're here and we form this force that you must pay for, whether you like it or not, at the rate which other people decide, you know, you see how it goes. It's a story. There's a story that's being enforced through belief and through coercion. And if you don't believe it, then you can't be part of the whole thing. And that's where the danger is. And that's where the opportunity to be a little different, a little more heroic lies in separating from that direction and choosing . So this bit is called Finding Purpose. Find a place of peace in yourself in this lifetime isn't always such an easy thing to do. Some people wonder if life is just one trauma and disappointment after another, while others seem to have the golden spoon. And from the outside point of view, when you look at others, often it seems like they got it better than we do. I mean, we've all experienced this, right? But then we come across people that have, maybe they're severely handicapped. Maybe they're going through things in life we can't even imagine. And we count ourselves lucky. I find myself today in an incredibly amazingly beautiful place, which I'm so thankful for, and I feel it's a perfect opportunity to talk about purpose. I could just as easily enjoy my time here without bringing this technological equipment, recording equipment with me, and I think I might enjoy my time here just slightly more. But I wouldn't, right now these days there's always kind of a back of my mind guilt, understanding that there's work to be done. And that I've been doing this And Evil podcast for close to 3 years. And it's still kind of a small show, and though I'm really happy with the people I've reached through the show, feels like there's a long way to go. You look out in the world and you see things happening and the things people are talking about, and it feels like we got a really long way to go to get across the understanding of what are we talking about when we're talking about evil. So I'm going to just real quick go over the basics. From my perspective, I've always liked to say evil is the destruction of freedom, because that phrase from the book, The End of All Evil, describes that when we take away freedom from others, that is a destruction of freedom. And generally, the way that happens is some form of stealing, some form of coercion, forcing somebody to do things your way. For whatever your reasons, even if you think they're good reasons, it violates the most basic rule of all, lex rex, right? The inherent rule of do as you want to be done to, treat others as you would like to be treated. That's like common sense morality. And at the base of it all, common sense morality is what objective morality is. Because the truth is, we are all living our own experience, and from our own perspectives and our own relative experience to that which we call the truth, that which is objective. We ourselves are not really experiencing objectively. We're experiencing in a relative way. We're relative to everything else. So objective is something we can conceive of, though. It's something we can talk about, corroborate, and understand, mostly in the realm with communication with other human beings. And that's how we do anything. We establish certain communication, certain words, certain basic understandings, and then with those fundamentals, then we can build, right? Like, this is a rock, this is a brick. Let's put one rock and brick on top of the other and we can build a wall. But if we didn't know what we were talking about, you'd be piling sticks and I'd be piling rocks, and we'd have a disorganized structure that doesn't hold up for the winter. So the topic I really want to get into is our purpose. I want to talk about how to discover your purpose, and how does walking the path of purpose look like in the modern world? Because it's, in many cases, not a straight path. From my point of view, it's a very winding and crooked path. Walking one's purpose requires diligence in a world full of distractions, constant distractions. Something that's been very obvious to me when I spend some time in a place like this where it's very quiet. And if I decide to stop and think about a particular topic, I can just kind of focus for a while and just think about that topic. Whereas if I'm in a like busy situation, driving through traffic, maybe multiple things are going on at once, lights are flashing, it's that much harder to maintain a thought process. So there is thought process necessary involved in figuring out one's purpose and finding places of calm and peace are a necessity. And each person may feel calm and peaceful in a different way. Some people get in an environment like this and they're so stressed out by mosquitoes and bugs that they can't have a good time and they can't concentrate. So, you know, each person has their own way of doing that. But one thing I've discovered is that we have a commonality. Myself and you, whoever's listening, and everyone in this world. Because there's so much rampant thievery going on, different forms of stealing, that isn't really recognized as such. For instance, taxes or many of the laws that are imposed upon you, or a lot of the underhanded tactics that maybe utilities use, I think, are a good example. Any large institution that leverages money against you or your time and energy in order to sort of pigeonhole you into doing things a certain way, they're in little ways they're cheating and stealing from you. They're stealing your energy by not having an honest, straight across deal like you would with someone you trust. So that happens through government, that happens through education, that happens through religion. It happens through any type of system or person or group that thinks that they can bend your will by getting you to believe a certain thing, by getting you to fear a certain thing, by threatening your time and your energy against the thought of losing those things. You know, these are all forms of pushing people into doing what they may not do otherwise. And that type of behavior is so rampant in today's world that people become accustomed to it. And, you know, it's almost like being accustomed to a blazing fire and your skin's boiling and burning and you just don't really feel it because you're just so used to having your skin burning and boiling all the time. And so we've become kind of callous to this pain, this trauma that's going on and on. So everybody's burned with the trauma of our society and the way that they've been stolen from, and wrongs have been done to each of us throughout our life through the various dogmatic and religious institutions that have tried to convince us of things for their own purposes, for control, often, more often than not. Trickery, you know. These processes, for me, what's coming to mind, why I look aside there, is I'm thinking about school and the education system, and in a way that robbed me of many years of my life that I feel like that could have been more productive. And the way it did that by like trying daily to put me in a situation where people have authority over me that really haven't earned my respect, and kind of putting me in a situation with a lot of other individuals that maybe are so traumatized from their own lives that they can't even properly deal with other kids their age, and probably need some sort of special, different treatment. And so these kids kind of get crowded together. And so there's so many ways you get emotionally and energy-wise, like, drained and traumatized by these systems of control and coercion, which on the surface seem like they're for the greater good. But really, when you look deeper, you find out that institutions like our education system are largely built for control. And the way they work and why they traumatize people is because it is stealing your energy and your life in various ways and convincing you to get really good at following orders. And so, just school's one of those. A lot of people, it happens to them in various dogmatic religions. Their parents are involved in government institutions, in military and police, these kind of systems of control where you get accustomed to kidnapping people and forcing people to do things against their will that haven't actually harmed any other human beings. And because it's all shrouded in these control systems that have approved of these manipulative ways of doing things, it's all just kind of like expected, and there's no concern in, is this actually right on a deeper level as human beings? Is this actually in alignment with the golden rule, our deeper understanding of consciousness? Can we talk about that? And at what point can we talk about that? Where's the clause in the Constitution or the written laws that says, you know, all of these rules and laws at a certain point need to be circumspect and re-evaluated for their base common decency, even if you don't want to use the word morality. See, the trouble is with the word morality is it constantly gets confused and mixed up because it's only normally used in many people's minds in the context of religions, and especially cultural religions such as Christianity or Catholicism, where when I use the term morality, I don't even mean those type of systems of control. Those are actually things that are traumatizing people. So one thing I've recognized is that by coming to an understanding about this deep level of trauma that we all face, that we have all been inflicted on, there is actually a sort of a golden thread in it, in that it provides a solution as well. Because whenever there's been some damage done to a person psychologically, spiritually, even physically, there's an opportunity for healing to occur. The body shows this. Anything that's alive exemplifies this, like, strong will and urge, basic, even if we fight it, to heal, to grow whole once more, to recuperate. It's just, the body will just do it without even, if you do nothing, it tries to heal. That's just a normal process, a normal natural process that's inherent in all reality of all living things. Doesn't always work. Look what happened to that fish. Didn't make it. But that might have been something fishermen did. Coming to the recognition of one of the traumas I went through was the harsh treatment in school from these teachers and authoritarians who were kind of always cracking down on the fact that I didn't want to follow all their rules to a T. And I would break, like, the little rules, silly ones, just to make a point, right? Because the whole structure was what frustrated me. Many years after now, I realized that
the pain and the trauma that those structure of school put on me gives me a lot of things to talk about to explain to others. One of the ways in which systems of indoctrination, systems that don't give one a choice, do trauma, right? And that's, you could say, oh, that's good because then our trauma becomes our purpose, right? Well, it can be. We can make it good. And that's what's wonderful about finding a purpose, is you try to right some wrong. That's what a purpose really comes from my understanding of it, is trying to right some wrong. There's always some wrong to be righted. Artistic endeavors, creative endeavors, achievements, goals, those are all great. But to really have passion, I think requires some level of pain or trauma or sorrow that wants to be avoided or transcended or recuperated from or achieved. So the recommendation then is, if you take the time to go back in your life and look at the things that really set you off, the things that trigger you now, the things that are your pet peeves, the things that rub you the wrong way, that really get up your spine, whatever you want to call it, tend to be the things that, when you look deeper, there's some reflection on what bring about that trigger in you. Something in your life happened that you really saw or experienced that left a mark, and every time anything is reminiscent of that, it sort of reopens that wound. So if you find those things and you work on healing them by trying to do something about the bigger problem, the root of the problem, not just attacking what happened to you personally, but thinking about how there's some greater thing you can do that would impact the rest of the world because of the trauma that you went through. Now you're propelled with that much more ferocity to go forward and seek to do some healing for yourself and for others. The more it's like bigger than just yourself, whatever you're passionate about, the more fuel there is or can be in it, because we all know deep down that even though it's good to have your ego and love yourself and treat yourself well, there's a point at which it can become selfish if you only think about yourself, or solipsistic. So if you're able to work on yourself and treat yourself well, and then be able to have leftover energy and maintain your life fuel to the point where now you can invest time and energy of yourself to possibly educate or help those around you with the things you've learned, with the energy that you've produced by transcending your own trauma, then now you're acting with passion, and you can affect people with that passion. And I think that's how you find your purpose, is you look at the things in life that have traumatically affected you and triggered you, and you look towards the ways of solving those things. Apply those solutions to yourself, do that inner healing on yourself and in your relationships as much as possible, and then transcend your own personal cycle and work on the cycle for a lot of other people going through similar cycles of trauma that you went through. And so that is basically the simple conclusion of this topic about passion and purpose. It's something I've discussed before, but I find that each time I regurgitate the discussion, the thought, and I'm able to say it perhaps more clearly and succinctly. And it might be a good stepping stone to the next part of the conversation I'd like to have. Thanks for listening. Fish in the sea. They're just like, seems like aimlessly meandering around. Looking at each other like, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? Maybe if you don't do anything in this life, you come back as a fish.
real big one down there somewhere. There he is. Grandpa. Got done working for the day. Started getting pretty hot. I was staining some wood and sealing it. And once the sun started hitting it, it's over. So, good day to come out and enjoy the lake a little bit more. And tonight is Thursday, is the podcast. So, thought we. Good opportunity to chat a little more with y'all about purpose and belief. Let's go take a walk down to the lake. Now, can't expect everyone to be 100% sure of their purpose, but you know, I think just agreeing that it's an important thing and searching for it and trying to define it, if you're somewhere along that, great, congratulations. But belief, you know, I talked about as being pretty much the major obstacle to purpose. See, if you're caught up in some kind of belief system, that'll hold you back from purpose. Well, at least a purpose that's worthy of your time and energy. I often think of all through history, you know, there's been battles fought, a bunch of warriors. I always imagine, like, what motivates people to risk their neck to go to war against some other people, knowing that you might never return, that you might just get killed in battle. How could people convince themselves to do that? That just seems unbelievable. But they did. So somewhere along the line, someone must have convinced them that, you know, I'm a safe person to follow. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to make it worth your while type of thing. But, you know, as we all know, in wars and battles go, half of people don't make it. So, you know, people get tricked into believing all kinds of stuff, and it costs them their lives in those situations. It always occurs to me. Those are kind of like the more obvious, oh, look at all the fish, situations where we can see how dangerous belief could be. You know, you follow the wrong leader in a time of war, and you get led to your death. And maybe he was the guy who had the the lesser evil, but still, that doesn't mean you don't die, you know. So when it comes to belief, what I think is really interesting is the modern world we live in is so separated from the natural rhythm of life, whether it be the fish moving around in the lake or what time the sun hits at a certain point in the sky or whatever, because most city life, many people are living in such a way that it might as well be the middle of the day when you're in Vegas, I guess is what I'm getting at, you know. a lot of people's lifestyles are very separate from the natural world. So that being the case, we do live in a false world often. You know, I was thinking about how much of my childhood I watched a lot of cartoons. When you're fully immersed in a cartoon, you're in that world. You're not in the natural world. You're not in the natural circadian rhythm of nature. So we begin to get used to a false reality in many ways, and this affects our belief system. Okay, so what I was getting to was, okay, if you're one of these people that gets convinced to go fight in a war, right? You do have a purpose. It's not that you don't have a purpose, even though you're being led by your belief, right? Your leader's telling you if you don't fight, you know, your family's going to become subjugated to the enemy or whatever, which might be true, you know. But your belief, you know, you've been convinced that you have to go fight this war, right? So now you have a purpose. See, that's where it's dangerous, because your belief system can affect your purpose, and it can allow you to be led by someone else's purpose much more so than your own internal compass of what I'm trying to really encourage is the process of finding your own purpose. Each of us doing that is what I think life is truly about, what we're supposed to be doing. And what we experience in life is often the results of all the other people trying to define and carve out their life purpose. And natural law is the effects, the way that the effects work from what everybody's doing, good or bad, and how that affects all of us on the whole. On the individual level, sometimes that can be a little hard to discern. What's my fault? What's your fault? Why did which things happen? But just like every little move we make, there's a ripple effect, right? That goes out into the world that affects everything else. And if there's something else going on over there, it creates a ripple that affects me over here. So, I guess in the allegory of the lake, imagine if someone convinced you, if you'd never really tried to swim, and someone convinced you that swimming was just like super easy and you don't even have to try. You don't have to try at all. And then the first time you went out there, you listened to their advice and you didn't try, and you started like drowning and you got a whole mouth full of water and wound up really sick and maybe even worse. You believed somebody and their faulty notion, and then reality struck, and reality is objective in that way, that just like water and buoyancy and swimming, you know, there's certain things that are required for that to work. So it's a recipe. How do we use belief, though, in an effective way, in a safe way? Well, like, I think it's good to believe in ourselves, right? Like, that's the way we build trust in our skills. Like, when you jump from rock to rock is one thing I've thought of before. You know, there's a little bit of faith or belief required that you're going to be able to jump from one rock to another, and then at times you're sadly mistaken and you come up a little short, and that changes your trust, faith, and belief in your own self. So, right, there's a balance there, but applied internally, belief is just our process of thinking about things. It's like, I wonder if that's the case. It's the stage in which there's still a question mark on the end of it. Belief should never be a statement that ends in a period.
I believe such and such. Like, if you claim that, that's fine just as long as you understand that it's still a question mark. Otherwise, as I've pointed out in so many ways, any like real great purpose in life that's from your own internal knowledge, like I talked about before, a lot of times those internal knowledge, internal purpose often comes from us looking out at the world and seeing something that gives us pain or trauma or causes us to want things to be different, and then that gives us the passion and ignites our part of ourself that wants to do something about it, and then that gives us the juice and the willpower to surmount obstacles. So what are the things in life that really fire you up? And if things aren't firing you up, it's likely to me, in my mind, if someone's like not getting fired up, it's that there's something in their belief system that's clogging their ability to reach towards their purpose. So some belief structure in the mind is preventing the ability to clearly see. You know, like when you're in water and you can clearly see the bottom right now, right? But if I kick up a bunch of dirt, now it's all clouded, you know? And that's like our mind when it's full of erroneous beliefs or just too many beliefs, you know? When you look out at the clear water, it's just seeing what things are. You're not fucking with it. You're not messing with it. You're not clouding the truth of what's to be seen. It's clear. You have clarity. So finding clarity is letting go of belief systems, not hanging on to them, allowing there to be questions in your mind on things without needing to ultimately define them and know the ultimate answer. You know, there's very few things we really, really fucking need to know. And most of those things are principle type things that we can understand in a philosophy and hermetic way, that we don't need to know on, like, write it down on paper and sign it type of shit, you know? But more like we just know deep down common sense it's wrong to kill somebody for no reason, right? And like, I think we even know that if someone's stealing from you and you accidentally, like, you get mad and you kill them, like, that would be like, man, I didn't want to kill them just for stealing from me. Even though it is within your right to do so, if someone's stealing from you, you don't want to kill people, right? Like, if you didn't have to and you did, it would feel bad. So, you know, these things are like common, normal, moral sense. And it's just like when people are damaged or traumatized or didn't go through the correct loving processes as children, then they come out all skewed and messed up and they don't have these correct conscious processes going in their body and mind, and they can do all these ridiculous things like trying to force their will on others and apply inconsiderate force, right? Like have a job where you go around kidnapping people, or have a job where you go around coercing money out of people or something, you know. So, being a good moral person takes a lot of work in an immoral world, and being a conscious person is extremely difficult in a world full of so many distractions, and in a place where most people are living in some type of non-reality and calling it reality, and you're the weird one wanting to live a life of conscious purpose. If you want to do so, shed those beliefs, shed those belief systems, analyze them, and topple them, and find clarity. Thanks for joining me, folks. See you next time.